UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
We're about to take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all having a pleasant week. My name is Nick Hunter and you're listening to the UFO Chronicles podcast. Tonight we're going to be hearing from Chris in Auckland, New Zealand. And Chris has had many UFO encounters over the years, ranging from orbs to boomerang-shaped objects. And she has also had interactions with beings in dreams, as well as being wide awake. But before we speak with Chris, I would like to read out a few names of you wonderful listeners out there and thank those for leaving ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts recently. And they are Fan of Nick, JillyBean7, Carmen, M78901, Alistair Jesse, and Nightstar Watcher. Thank you, and message me your address, guys, and we'll send you all out bumper stickers. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Good morning, Chris, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. So thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from Auckland in New Zealand.
That's right.
Which I think means desired by many.
Oh, I'm not so sure now with COVID. It's pretty boring living here at the moment.
Understandable. Now, Chris, you have had a lifetime of experiences. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please, ma'am?
Yeah, sure. The first one that I can clearly remember is I was around 3 years old, so my family and I were staying at our beach house, and it was a weird kind of house that had all the bedrooms around the outside and the kitchen in the middle. And I woke up about 5 o'clock in the morning at first daylight, and I felt that I had to go to the beach. So I dragged an oak, real heavy dining chair over to the back door, and it's scraping on the floor, and you know how loud that is on the wooden floor. But none of the adults woke up, and I climbed on the chair, and I must have spent a good 10 minutes or so trying to unlock the back door because I had real little hands and I could only just reach the lock. And I took myself to the beach, and I sat on the sand, probably felt like about half an hour, and then there were no adults there, no cars driving around, it was just dead. And I knew I wasn't allowed to go in the water by myself, so I just sat there. And then after a certain amount of time, I just took myself home. So with other things happening in my life, I just think that was probably the first thing that happened. I can't understand why none of the adults woke up in the house when I let myself out. The next thing that happened, I was 4 or 5 years old and a man tapped me in bed and woke me up. And he looked like he was maybe Italian or Spanish. He had short, dark hair, quite dark skin, and he seemed to know me. And he had on like tight-fitting clothing, like they wear on Star Trek, but all the same color, like, you know, tight top and tight trousers. And he said something like, "I want you to come with me to see your family." And I can remember thinking in my little head, well, these people aren't my family. They don't feel like a good fit. And it makes perfect sense to me. So I stood up on my bed and we held hands and we started flying up through the ceiling. And I was thinking, this is really cool. I'm flying, and started going through the ceiling, and I could see the insulation in the ceiling that Dad had put in. And we were just about to go through the iron roof, and I panicked because I didn't want to go anywhere. And I tried to pull my hand back, and the next thing I know, I've collapsed in a big heap on my bed. So I don't know if I went anywhere, and then my only memory is of returning, or whether I'd managed to pull my hand out of his grip and crashed in a heap on my bed. So years later, my dad, like, we didn't have an interest in UFOs in our house. I didn't even know if they were called that yet. Dad woke up in the middle of the night. We lived down in the South Island in Invercargill. That's the most southern city in New Zealand. And he said that he looked up and he saw a craft, and it looked like a Star Wars craft, because Star Wars had not been long out. Oh, I guess that was 30 years ago now. And he said it filled up nearly the whole sky. So he watched it for a while until it went out of sight. And on the radio the next morning, there was a report of a few police cars had followed it also and had gone out to Old Eddy Beach and then went out over the sea. So that was like a public sighting that more than my dad had seen. So that was pretty cool. And then my dad started buying a lot of books about UFOs, but I wasn't interested. I was too young, I guess. And I thought that UFOs were what you saw on TV, like it wasn't a real thing. It was just something made up on TV. So when I lived in Australia, I saw a silver orb that looked kind of like a star. If you look through a telescope at a star and it's out of focus, it was like a silver plasma ball that was DeLonga Bay that I was at. And then I saw that with another person. So didn't think too much of that because you couldn't prove what it was. And I'd never heard of ball lightning, but I've since looked into ball lightning and I don't believe it was that. So the next thing I really remember, there's a whole heap of things that I could talk about, but it would just take hours. So I'll just stick to the main things. In my early 20s, I had a dream one night that I was sleepwalking, and it was quite a horrible dream with some traumatic events in it. I don't really want to talk about it too much because it's quite upsetting. Still, even all this time later, when I woke up in the morning, I woke up so startled and the dream has felt so real that I checked the bottom of my feet because I just had a shower before bed, so my feet should have been clean, but my feet were super black, like the blackest you could have of the bottom of my feet. So I'd obviously been walking around somewhere at night. I told my mum about it and she was stressed out as well, so she said she'd lock me in my bedroom at night. I was sleeping in a sleep out. So the next couple of nights, the same thing again. Each morning when I woke up, I'd check my feet, and my feet were super black on the bottom. So, you know, as a young girl in your 20s, you're not wearing that much to bed, you know, just like a big t-shirt or something. So it completely changed how I dressed for bed. Over the next 6 weeks, like every day I was putting something extra on because it was winter. So in the end, I was that scared. I was wearing shoes and socks to bed, plus like gym gear, so that if I was going somewhere at night, at least I would be fully clothed wherever I was going. Around that time, I was living in Palmerston North and I was a sober driver for most of my friends. I only ever drank one or two drinks. And one night I was coming home from a late shift at work, and this big white light was hovering above the railway lines, and I felt like it was watching me and keeping pace with my car. So that really freaked me out. And then not much long later, I dropped a friend out at the army camp. So it was about a 15, 20 minute drive from where I lived, and probably about 15 minutes in the dark and real windy road, quite narrow. And I was coming back from dropping him off one night, and a big white light that sounded like a cross between a freight train and a truck came roaring up behind me, and it filled my whole car up with white light. And it was really super loud, but the white light didn't go through my windscreen and onto the road ahead. It kind of just stopped in my car. And it was terrifying. I thought I was going to drive off the road. So luckily I was on a straight at the time, so I just kept accelerating. And then it came up and over my roof and just went straight up, and then it was silent. So it wasn't a truck, it wasn't a motorbike. I don't know what it was, but it was terrifying. And not long after, I was chatting to another army guy, and he looked really stressed about something. So he was a friend of a friend, so I chatted to him for a while, and he said that he was really frightened because he'd been chased by a big, loud white light on the country road. He was either going to the army base or coming back. And I knew he was telling the truth because he was still absolutely terrified. So I felt a little bit better because at least there was someone else that had seen the same thing as I had. I didn't keep in contact with him. He was a friend of my sister's. But it was good to know that someone else had seen the same thing. Not long after that, my partner and I woke up one night, and we were living in a house with no insulation, and it could get down to -6, -8 degrees Celsius at night. So not too pleasant. And when you breathed inside in winter, like steam came out of your mouth, and it just wasn't heatable. Didn't matter how much heating you put into the room, you just couldn't make them warm. So we wore many layers to bed. You'd wear like thermal underwear and pajamas. Sometimes I wore a dressing gown, always wore a hat in winter, socks. Sometimes I'd even wear slippers to bed. That's how freezing it was. So one night we woke up, and it was kind of weird because I sleep on my side all the time, and he slept on his stomach. And we woke up, and we were both lying on our backs, and we were like we'd been placed in a coffin, but our arms were by our sides and our toes were pointed. And we were both naked, and it was like we startled awake, and we sat up and started clawing at each other, going, "What the hell happened? Why are we naked? Where are our clothes? What's happened to us? Where have we been? What's going on?" And we were wet, like soaking wet, not our hair, but our whole bodies were wet. I don't know if you've had an operation and you've been wiped down with whatever they wipe you down with when you've had an operation, but it was kind of wet like that, like it didn't dry. It was, I know, it was almost like being dunked in a swimming pool and pulled straight out. That's how wet we were, and freezing cold. So the oddest thing about that was our clothes were in two neat piles, almost touching, but crumpled. They were all crumpled, one on top of the other. Like you'd pick them up in a heap, taken them off, and then dump them in a heap. And then the bed clothes and all the blankets, I probably had about 6 blankets on my bed, they were all pulled out perfectly straight and stretched on the floor, as if someone had grabbed the bed clothes on each side of the bed and then lifted them off and walked them all the way up and stretched them out flat. So we'd jumped out of bed, we're jumping around trying to get warm, got dressed, jumped back into bed and hugged and tried to get warm. And we never spoke about it again, which is really strange. So that's probably one of the strangest things that's ever happened to me. After that, not long after that, I moved up to Auckland, where I am now, and I was living in my boss's house, and she had a beautiful home on the cliff top, and it was overlooking Little Manly Beach and Gulf Harbour, and there's a little island that's shaped like a sail. I think it's called Someone's Hat was the name of the island out in the bay, so it's pretty easy to line things up with it and figure out how big things are. So one night it was around midnight, and I was chatting to my friends overseas on Facebook, and I saw, I always had the curtains open. Sorry, I should mention that, because it was such a beautiful view of the ocean. And I saw an orange light, and it was ringed in red, and it was brilliant orange, and it was out over the sea. And by measuring it up against the island, I figured out it was about the size of a single car garage. So I watched it for a while and thought, oh, maybe it's one of those balloons that people talk about. So watched it for a little while and was going backwards and forwards. And then from across the ocean, a smaller blue orb came in, and it was a brilliant blue, and it was super fast. I couldn't understand how it could move that fast, but then it stopped dead when it got right next to the orange orb. And then they started playing a game of like cat and mouse around the sky. So I watched that for a little while and thought, oh, maybe I should try and get some of this on my phone, on my camera. So I tried to video it, and it came out, the orange ball just came out like a little orange dot on the screen. So I don't know, I gave the phone away or got rid of the phone. It wasn't, or deleted it. It didn't come out of anything that was of any use to anyone. The little blue light must have annoyed the orange light. So the orange one started vibrating super fast from left to right. And after a little while, the blue light shot off back to sea at this massive speed. So I was lucky enough to talk to Susie Hansen, who's on the U-Focus group in New Zealand, and she'd had two other people had reported the orange light that night, but not the blue one. So I hadn't considered that I'd seen a UFO before in my life, so I was having a lot of trouble trying to deal with it. So instead of standing there and keeping on watching it, I just shut the curtains and pretended it didn't exist. And every so often I'd poke my head out in the crack in the curtain and it was still there. So that was pretty interesting. A guy in the next bay, he had, it came right up to his kitchen window, the orange light. And he showed me a photo a few days later of the flattened grass outside of his kitchen window. So that was pretty cool that someone else had seen it as well. And he had other sightings that led on from there. One was, he said the following day, he saw a car that looked like a Jetsons bubble car from the cartoon. And he said, you're not going to believe me, but it's filled with a cliched assortment of aliens. Every type you can imagine, there was one of each sitting in there. And they were just staring at him. So he was incredibly freaked out by that. And I'm just glad I didn't see anything like that. We moved after that. We moved down to the southern end of Auckland. And one night, so by now I realised that I was actually seeing UFOs. I started Googling and realised that it's called an orange orb, what I'd seen, and that other people have seen them as well. So now I'd known that I'd seen a UFO from a distance. But the next one I saw up really close. I was driving home on the motorway from the city one night. I dropped my boys into boarding school. And as I was coming back, I saw what I thought was a plane that couldn't make it to the airport. And it was big. So I thought it was going to crash on the motorway. And I kept driving towards it because I thought, well, I can either help out at the accident scene, or if I can't help, I can get off a motorway exit closer to home and get home. So I got closer and closer. And when I was probably about a kilometre away, I realised it wasn't a plane at all. So I'd sped up. Everyone else was doing about 80 k's on the motorway. We were allowed to do 100. I was probably doing 110 k's. Zoomed up, and I found a place where I could pull over in the breakdown lane and have a good look at it. And it was the size of like that giant Airbus plane, the 380, a two-story plane. And it could... its wings were on one side of the motorway, and then the other wing was on my side of the motorway, but I couldn't see the shape of the craft, but the shape of the lights were halfway between a V and a boomerang, and the lights didn't illuminate anything. They were probably trampoline size, like the round trampoline size. They were evenly spaced. There were seven lights, and this craft could do figure eight almost on the outside light. and it could bank almost onto its side, and it was flying so lazy and slow. If it wasn't any sort of craft we have, it would have fallen out of the sky. So I watched it for a few minutes, and then I'm thinking, this is really weird. There's no vehicles on my side of the motorway, and there's no vehicles on the other side of the motorway. And the motorway is always busy. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night. There's always heaps of traffic. It'll be free-flowing that time of night, but I should have been able to see 100 cars around me, and there were none. So I'm also noticing that this craft doesn't make any sound. So I wound down my window, and I stuck the whole top half of my body out of my vehicle, and it was absolutely silent. So then another car came around the corner. It was another lady by herself in her car, and she stopped right in the middle of the motorway. And the look of horror and shock on her face, it was different to my response. I was just curious because I thought, well, it's not going to be able to do anything. It's too big to land, whatever it is. It can't hurt me, so I'll just sit here and have a look. But she was terrified, so we had a bit of a yelled conversation between us and hand gestures. And then I thought, well, a truck could come around the corner and take her out and kill her, so I better get her off the motorway. So I gestured for her to come over closer to me, and I took off slowly. So my radio was still working in my car, so I thought, well, this can't be a UFO because my radio is working, and isn't it supposed to have interference? I don't know. And then I thought, well, I'll have a look in my mirrors as I drove away, and I could see it in my rear vision mirror and also my side mirror. So I could see it in a mirror, so whether that means anything or not, I don't know. But instead of following me, she just took off at great speed. So I was too scared to go and cross the motorway and try and be exactly under it. I looked on Google Maps later, and there was a power station, a little mini substation, over where it was going round and round. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But I went home and thought, wow, surely tomorrow on the news there's going to be thousands and thousands of reports about this V-shaped UFO going round and round over the motorway. But there was nothing at all, and I couldn't understand it. And it took a lot of Googling, and I found out about the Phoenix Lights. So it sounded like it was pretty similar to the Phoenix Lights. But I've since spoken to new Facebook friends that were right there. One of the men has seen two Phoenix Light type rafts, and one I think he said was over a kilometre across, so it wasn't as big as that one. It was a whole lot smaller, but the same sort of shape. And he'd actually made a documentary about it, which I watched. We're still Facebook friends today, and I just keep waiting for the next thing to happen. The next sighting I had was another shared sighting. I was at home waiting to go to my afternoon shift at work, and I just knew I had to go out on the deck and look up. And when I went outside and looked up, there was a massive craft, and it looked like it was only halfway here, or it was a shadow on our atmosphere. And it was shaped like a club, like a long elongated club with a real fancy tail shape. The tail's really hard to describe, but it was bizarre. And I called out my son and his friend, and I said, what do you think that is up there? And they had a look as well, and they said, they don't know, it must be a cloud. And I said, well, clouds aren't grey, and they don't come with a geometric shape on the tail. That's a UFO. So I called out, hey, you know, we can see you. You might want to smudge around your edges a little bit because people can actually see you. And over the next hour, more clouds came in and covered it over. This craft took up a quarter to a third of the sky in length. That's how long it was. And it was above the fluffy clouds. So I looked up how far that was above us. And then with planes flying above the clouds, I'm kind of in between three airports, I tried to figure out how many planes would fit in the tail. And I think anywhere between 100 and 200 planes would have fitted in the tail section if it was just above the clouds. But then I have no way of gauging how high up it was. So again, we waited for that one, waited on the news to see if that would be on the news, and there wasn't a single report of it. So that one had given me made me real nervous. It just about did my head in, because I realised that these sightings were personal, and they were personal to me and my family. It's different seeing a UFO from a distance, but when you see, like, this one was parked right over my house.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
I've got a friend who also sees UFOs, and she's recently moved away. But just before she moved, she came over to my house. She was real pale and stressed, and I asked her what was wrong. And she said that she'd been woken up during the night, and she'd looked outside and she'd seen a UFO up above the clouds, but it was a real weird shape. And I said, oh, really? And I said, was it like this? And I drew it really quickly, and I think she was more horrified that I'd seen exactly the same thing. The reason why I think I saw it only half there was I only saw a grey, very soft grey colour. She saw girders underneath it. She said it had all different sort of shapes underneath it. And she didn't see the front of the craft. She only saw like tail end of it. But she just couldn't believe that I'd seen the same thing as her. So that was kind of cool. We'd seen them maybe 3 years apart, but we'd both seen the same craft in the same part of New Zealand. The next one I saw was during COVID. We were kind of between lockdowns, and I'd quickly whizzed up the road to see a girlfriend. And when she was saying goodbye to me at the car, we saw there's a little boy who's autistic, and he used to live in the same street as the primary school, and he liked flying his drone at night with his dad. Because we live by three airports, they just fly it kind of just above the rooftop, so it's not too high. And it looked like a police helicopter had come over their house and had forced the drone down a little bit lower, but the lights were red, white and green, and then the lights turned into a larger size, like trampoline size. And I said to her, what is that over there? And she said, oh, it must be a police helicopter. And I said, well, why can't we hear it? And she said, oh, it'll just be a helicopter. Don't worry about it. So I jumped in my car, said goodbye to her. I knew it wasn't a helicopter because we couldn't hear it for a start, and it was only two blocks away. And then I started driving closer, and in my head, I'm trying not to think about it because I've got a theory that they can hear you thinking about them, and I wanted to get a photo of it. So next thing, it stood up so that the point was pointed to the sky. And it was turned into the seven light halfway between a boomerang and a V-shape again, and turned into the seven white lights. But instead of having seven trampoline-sized lights, this time it had seven smaller bright white lights. And with the street lights, because it was only the tail was just above the rooftops on the house, I could see that the outline was very slightly curved, and the craft looked like it was gunmetal grey. So I'm still driving towards it. I've been driving I must have been looking at it for a few minutes by now. So I was only a few seconds away from getting to the street and being able to get a photo, and it completely disappeared. So that was a bit disappointing. So the next one I saw was, I've had a few dreams over the years, like more so in the last 6 to 8 years, and I've seen beings. And they're kind of a creamy colour with like giant brown freckles over them. And they've either got black, like typical aliens looking eyes, what you see of a grey, but smaller. But they sometimes have blue eyes, like more like our eyes, but they're a real brilliant blue. So I'm not sure whether the black part is like sunglasses they have over their eyes, or whether they have two different sorts of eyes. And one was always like getting really disappointed. I hadn't seen a craft for ages. So every night before I was going to sleep, I was wondering if I could see one, and I really wanted to meet who was on board them. I saw a group of them in my dream, and they said not to call them up because not all of them are as nice as them. They were all different heights and slightly different builds, but all with that mottly looking skin, and they were friendly. They seemed friendly as, but that gave me a fright, so I stopped stressing about them and stopped thinking about them so much. Like, I took it as a proper warning. Another day I was out hanging the washing, and I saw a meteor coming down, and it was going to crash in my suburb. And I started getting really frightened, because when it was a few blocks away from my house and I'm not knowing what to do, it felt like it was burning my eyelids and my face. And then the next thing, it's like far away. So I went inside, and I was really angry by now, and I said, I don't know who you are or what you're doing, but I want to see you. Like, where am I going? What's happening? What are you doing? And I felt a pressure on my forehead, like, you know, when you put a vacuum cleaner on your hand to test how good the suction is? I felt like that in the middle of my forehead, but stronger. And it got stronger, and then it got almost painful. And then there was a black wash of nothing. And then I was in a tunnel. And that tunnel looked like it was made of plasma, and it had like stars. I don't know whether it's stars or glitter in it. And it was flowing. It was bright pink and bright green and clear. And I was flowing along the tunnel, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. And I was super calm, like sedated calm, like I'd had a Valium calm. And I tried to reach my arms out to the side to see if I could touch the side, but I couldn't touch the side. So I wasn't sure how big it was. And then I thought, well, this is cool. I can fly like Superman. So I put my arms out the front. And then there was a bend in the tunnel, like far away. So I was getting closer and closer to it. And that's when I started freaking out and realized that it was all very well flying along like Superman. But I didn't want to see what was at the destination. I decided I wasn't brave enough. So I started yelling out, no, no, no. I said I wanted to see it. I didn't want to go there. And the next thing I know, I'm back in my dining room. That night, I had a dream that my partner and my son and I were standing on the deck, and an orb craft came down. It was white, and the light got bigger and bigger until it absorbed us on the deck. So I woke up the next morning. I'd had a very long sleep. I don't sleep that long, but I'd had an incredibly long sleep. And I was dehydrated so much, my mouth was stuck dry. And as soon as I tried to roll over to sit up, I got a massive spurting blood nose. So I managed to get to the bathroom and lay on the cold tiles for about half an hour until it calmed down. When I went to the toilet, my urine was so dark brown, it was almost black. And I was quite frightened by now. I felt really sick. I was really hot. I had the worst headache I've ever had in my life. It felt like I'd been run over on my stomach on the inside and out. Felt like I'd been run over and beaten up. It was really painful. It took me 3 days of sculling water till I felt like I was hydrated at all. I was that starved of water. I asked my partner, and he said we were all in bed for the night, but I don't believe that we were. I believe I went somewhere that night. So I managed to go to the doctor a few months later, because I was scared that I'd blurt out that I've been on a spaceship, because I believe I had been. Had blood tests, and that was all fine, but it took months for my bleeding nose to settle down. So after that, then I started seeing beings when I was awake. We have a lot of police helicopters over my area. It's like quite a fancy area in Auckland, and there's a lot of car theft around here. There's not much garage parking, so a lot of people park on the street. So we have police helicopters come over every night. And one night, I hadn't long gone to bed, and I got woken up by what I thought was a police helicopter, the light shining in my window. So So the lights were so bright, I couldn't open my eyes properly to see, and it was really painful with the light. So I managed to roll over and looked outside on the balcony, and there was definitely no helicopter there. And then I freaked out because the light was actually coming through my bedroom ceiling. It just came just below my bedroom ceiling. So it lit up the room, but the brilliant white light was my whole ceiling. When I'm squinting and I look at the end of my bed, and there's a small, I guess what you call a grey, probably about 3 or 4 feet tall, and it was at the end of my bed. And in a split second, I didn't see its legs moving. It was right up beside my head, and it kind of leaned over, and it was a feminine voice, and it said, "Don't worry, you're not going for long this time." So then I felt super calm, and then felt like I'd just fallen back into sleep. My next memory, I freaked out. So I started, when I realised that the white light coming through the ceiling wasn't a police helicopter, I started thrashing around trying to get free of my bedding. The first thing I did was try and reach for my partner, but he wasn't in the bed, which was really strange because he normally goes to bed real early. So then I tried to get all my blankets and duvets off me, and I could feel the sweat falling off me because I was working so hard trying to get out of bed, and I managed to get one leg on the ground and I was free of the blankets, but I hadn't quite stood up when she told me not to worry that I wouldn't be gone for long. Then I woke up on a table that was soft and hard. I don't know how to describe it. I was in like a silvery room. There were no corners like where the wall met the floor. It was rounded and I could see out into a corridor. And I was still thrashing as if I was in bed, trying to get rid of my blankets. So I couldn't see anyone around me. And a few seconds of that, and then it was like I was unconscious. So I kind of wrote that one off as a nightmare, but I'm not convinced because of the sweat that I could feel forming. And when my partner did eventually come up to bed, he'd stayed downstairs till well after midnight. Well, he's normally in bed asleep by 8 or 9, so just seems really weird. I think he was compelled to stay downstairs and I went on a trip that time. The latest one was, well, it would have been about last April, May. So I'd gone up to bed. It was the end of daylight saving, so it was getting dark pretty early. It was only like 7:40 at night. And the only reason I'd come upstairs is because my partner likes watching dumb YouTube videos, and I prefer to watch something different or read a book or whatever. So I was just sitting on the bed, closed, watching TV, 7:40 at night. And then in my head, I hear, "Go to sleep." And I'm thinking, why would I go to sleep at this time of night? It's not even quite dark yet. Go to sleep. Okay, so I'll go to sleep. Maybe I just need to have an early night, but I'm not tired. Go to sleep. Okay, so I turn off the TV, leave the bedside light on so my partner can see when he comes up to bed later. And normally I face the balcony to go to sleep, but this time I face the doorway. And as my eyes were closing, I felt someone's in the room, and it was a freaky feeling. Like I always sleep with my bedroom door open for fresh air, but one of my sons has a habit. He'll tiptoe into the foot of the bed and then call out "Mum" quite loud and just about give me a heart attack. So I thought he'd stepped into the room quietly again and I hadn't heard him. So I pinged my eyes open. So I'm wide awake and there's two beings standing in my room. So I'm wide awake. They're not quite here. They're both see-through. And one of them, their head is almost touching the ceiling. And the other one's like a shorter one, like I've seen before. But the tall one's super spindly. Its arms and legs are as fat as broomsticks, or maybe a little bit more. And they're like kind of greyish but see-through, greyish bluish but see-through. And I can see they've got mottled skin, and I can see their heads are perfectly oval and their eyes are black. And I can see an almost nose, and I can see almost lips. I can't see ears. I can see the mottling on their chest and on their necks. And I can see the bones and, I guess, the tendons in their neck. I don't know, is that what they're called, tendons? and they seemed to have clothing on, and it was tight fitting. And the taller one, its upper arms were a lot shorter than ours, so the elbow was a lot higher. So it had an incredibly short upper arm, but normal length rest of the arm. So overall, their arm fitted the length of their body, but just the elbow joint was in the wrong place. And so I sat up in bed and then leaned over the bed because I wanted to see what their feet looked like. And the big one, I could tell that it definitely had two or three toes, and the little one as well. But the little one, its feet were planted on the floor, but the taller one was hovering just over the floor. And then the both of them together, when I sat up, they realized that I was actually awake, that I hadn't been knocked out. And they both, at the same time, leaned their heads forward, and they looked really inquisitive, like they were checking me out like a science experiment or something. And then they both tilted their heads slightly to the side. And I sort of gave them a weak wave, thinking, well, you know, what's going to happen next? And it seemed forever that we were just staring at each other and nothing was happening. And then I thought, well, if they're going to take me somewhere, I'm going to have a really terrible sleep, and I hope I don't wake up horribly sick tomorrow. Then I started getting scared, and I thought, if they come another step closer, I'm going to kill them in my head, and then let it be known that if they came any closer to me, because I suddenly got frightened. And then it was like I'd been knocked out, and I just remember falling back towards the pillow. And that's the last real sighting I've had, apart from, so when would it have been, August last year, I saw a giant flying saucer in the clouds just to the left of my house, and on the top of it, it looked black, like a black raised bit on the top, like a black dome on top, and it was tilted in the clouds, hiding in the clouds, but because I was beside the cloud, I could see it, and then over time, the cloud covered it, and you couldn't see it anymore. And that brings us just about up to today. Because when you talk about it, all the feelings come back from like it's just happened there and then.
Sure, sure.
So you feel sometimes that you were fearful. Oh, so the last ones that I saw, I didn't feel that they were unfriendly and I didn't feel that they were going to hurt me. It was that I panicked. Yeah, I panicked. I don't think they would have hurt me. Just, I don't know whether it had been a minute or more had passed, however long we were staring at each other, but there got to be a point where what's going to happen next, and I wasn't sure, so I got frightened. But I haven't seen any since then, so that's been probably about eight, nine months ago.
So it's been very quiet recently.
Definitely ramping up. Now I can actually see them and remember seeing them.
And does it bother you at all seeing them?
No, it doesn't bother me now, and I've been apologising profusely for telling them that I was going to kill them if they came a step closer, because I don't think they were here to hurt me. I think they were super friendly. Like, they were just so calm and docile and gentle. I was quite awful to them, really, and I don't get why people call them demons. I don't think they are. I just think they have our best interests at heart. I think it's intergenerational, because I'm sure my dad had such a massive interest in UFOs for a reason, and I know that my children have seen them as well. So I'm guessing it's intergenerational. Yeah, I hope I see more, because I want to talk to them and ask them questions and be able to remember.
Because, of course, yeah, your dad had the sighting as well, didn't he?
The thing is, you never know when you're going to see them either. Like, usually I'll have my phone next to me no matter what I do. I'll take my phone wherever I go because I want to try and record them. And each and every time that I haven't picked up my phone, that will be when I'll see them.
Yeah, it's usually the way that. When you had the experience when you were driving the car on the freeway and with the white ball of light?
Yes.
And you said it actually came through the windscreen.
The light came in through the back windscreen, but it didn't go out the front. It was like the whole car was full of light, but it didn't light up the road in front of me. So if it had been a truck or whatever, you would have seen it lighting up the road in front, and you also would have seen it overtake me. So it disappeared. I'm guessing when it got to the roof of my car, it just went straight up.
How big was it?
It filled one half of the road. So, that was on a country road. So, how wide is a lane on a road? 4 or 5 meters? At least that wide. And taller than my car.
And it just passed out the top?
It must have passed over the top, because if it had stopped, I would have seen it behind me. And if it had passed in front of me, my car headlights would have illuminated whatever it was. But it came up to my back windscreen of my car. The light filled the car. And then pretty much as soon as it got to my car, the noise stopped and it was completely gone.
And your army friend had a very similar sighting quite recent to that.
He had exactly the same experience, but he was on a motorbike. Imagine how scary that would have been. He was on his motorbike coming into town or going out to the army, either or. So that would have been so terrifying. I had the protection of my car around me.
Was that in the same general location?
Same location. It was just outside Palmerston North, between Palmerston North and Linton Army Camp. And around the same time, within a few months or so of the same time as me.
Yeah, that's a bit of a coincidence, that one.
Yeah, and I knew something was wrong with him, so I didn't tell him about my experience first. I asked him what was wrong with him, because he looked so stressed all the time, and he offloaded his experience to me. And then I very happily told him that the same had happened to me, which made both of us feel a whole lot better.
Yeah, it's always good if someone else has shared the same, the same experience you have.
Yes.
It's confirmation as well.
Yes, confirmation that you're not hallucinating.
Certainly sounds a lot going on in New Zealand.
Yeah, there is. It's a bit of a highway here that with the ley lines. I don't know if you've read anything of Bruce Cathy, the pilot, and the Kaikoura Lights, but he wrote books on the ley lines, and the orange orb UFOs seem to go up and down the west coast of the North Island, up and down the coast out towards Piha Marae. There's been a lot of sightings out that way.
Yeah, sure. These ley lines, these power lines crisscross the planet, didn't they?
Yes. So I had a look, and there's one by me. So they look like the moon, but super low. They fly by my house. So north of my house, they flow from east to west, and south of my house, they go from west to east. So I seem to be on a bit of a highway as well. So you just catch them out of the corner of your eye. Sometimes you'll get a real good look. So a few times as well, I've been outside my house when I used to live at the beach, and I thought the moon was in the wrong place, but it was just above the roof house top. But my brain couldn't comprehend what I was looking at. So my brain's telling me it's the moon, but it's an orange orb.
And do you journal all these experiences down?
Yes, I do. I've drawn hand-drawn pictures of them, and then I write about them, and just to keep a record. Sometimes it takes the earlier ones. It could take 6 months or a year before I could even talk about it to anyone, because it would take that long to process it through my brain. And your brain's trying to tell you it's not real and it didn't happen, and UFOs aren't real. So until you've seen someone else has had the same sort of experience, you can't accept it yourself.
Of course.
But now it's a lot easier. I can normally tell someone within hours or a day if I've had a sighting. I can chat to my online friends about it.
Of course, cause it's very important that more people, come forward with their experiences and their sightings. Obviously, so this is a call out to New Zealand. Anyone listening out there which want to share their experience, come forward, because obviously the more the better.
Oh, I hope they do, because you feel so alone until you bump into other people that have had the same type of experiences. The only lady that I know from New Zealand that's had the same sort of things, really, she's in Invercargill. She's had the more intense experiences than me. And then my friend that's moved down now by Christchurch. So I've got no one local that I can talk to about it.
What is the general attitude towards these type of encounters?
It's not real. You're crazy. It's not real.
What about when the news covers stories?
Most people, it's still not real. You're crazy. Even on the few that the news does cover, or it's just unexplained, or they'll say it's US secret craft or whatever, but I know that's not true.
That general attitude is, it's difficult because people don't want to come forward and share it without being, ridiculed and made fun of, whether it's from from their peers or family members.
Oh, absolutely. And I work in a school as well, so it makes it even more difficult.
Yeah, understandable.
Oh, and I left heaps out. There's just so many. But when you try to put them all together, you actually realise, and it's ramping up, I'm seeing more and more. Every year I'm seeing more than the year before, or I'm remembering more.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Yeah, my friend James, she thinks I've got alien kids as well, but that's more than my mind can bear. I'd rather not know. So I'm not interested in having regression because I'm not sure that regression therapy is 100% truthful or accurate. So I'd rather just, most of my sightings have been when I'm wide awake. So I think my own memory is good enough.
Yeah, and you're happy with that. Yeah, some people, it's not really for them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if I'd figured it out when I was like 20 or something. Yeah, but it's even weird. It's kind of like they put something in your mind so you don't even consider it. Because like listening to it is ridiculously obvious at this point in my life. And it seems to be, when I've spoken to my friends, said most of the women, they don't come to a realization till their late 40s or early 50s. They suddenly stitch it all together.
Yeah, that's often the age. Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll get some listeners out of that. And I might even get someone that wants to contact me and wants to offload about their experiences quietly. You know, in my suburb, there's a few houses. Oh, 2,000 or 3,000 houses, and I know 4 houses. I've seen them get visiting craft. I know of 4 houses in my suburb, and that's just the ones I've seen. So I think it's a whole lot more common than what people realise.
Yeah, it's a lot more common. And I said, you know, you've got the people which remember, then you've got the people which either purely don't remember because they're not allowed to, or they themselves have not allowed them to remember.
Yeah. Yeah, and books, that was a thing that our parents did because there was no internet, so they'd buy the books. And even when I was having most of mine, we didn't have internet at home. So the internet's really, I've only had really good internet in the last 10 years, so it's only in the last 10 years that I've managed to find the people that have helped me cope with it.
Exactly.
And even if you look on Google, it's like most of the results are hidden. So you try and look something up and you can't find what you're looking for. You have to go on another search engine and you'll get a whole lot more answers.
Yeah, so I mean, many years ago, obviously before the internet, you'd buy a book, a specialist book, you know, it couldn't just be about unexplained mysteries. It would probably be a book written predominantly for this. And then there might be an address in the very back of the book that might say, you know, if you want any information or you want to share your experience, you can write to this address, you know, and then you might eventually get a letter back from, you know, the author or whatever. But yeah, there just wasn't anything around. Even in the UK in the 90s, you know, there was information, but we didn't have the internet. And of course you had the movies and stuff coming out, but that was about it.
And movies are stories. You don't connect stories on TV or the movies with what's happening to you. It's not the same.
No, it's not the same. And most movies that do get made about this kind of thing aren't very accurate. You know, they're more ramped up, they're more made to look better than even though the actual truth is usually stranger. But these Hollywood movies and that, they tend to glamorize it up a little bit too much for my liking.
Yeah. And even Travis Walton, he said that they kind of made the aliens bad, whereas he actually thinks in real life they were actually good and they were trying to help him, that accidentally blasted him and were trying to make him better before depositing him back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was a mistake more than anything else. He just got in the way of it.
But all the people that I know, sort of apart from the guy in Wairarapa, all the people that I have chatted to online around New Zealand or in Australia, they all seem to have had mostly positive experiences.
A lot of people generally have bad experiences in the beginning for many years, and it's not until later life that they realise, you know, that it wasn't that bad. They didn't really mean you any harm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when I was angry and frightened, I was coming back with massive bruises on me, like softball-sized bruises on my abdomen and my under my arms, like I'd been fighting something. So I think that was my fear. I haven't had bruises in several years now. So since I've stopped being frightened, I haven't been harmed.
I mean, it's quite understandable, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, because you get a fright. I think they sedate you. So whether they do it with a frequency, you know, like a sound or something, like even their voice, it's like I've had Valium once before an operation, and it's like you've had a Valium, like the whole world could be exploding around you and you wouldn't even react. That's how calm you feel.
I mean, you've got to understand that. I mean, of course people have traumatic experiences, yes. You know, because, you know, you're basically being taken out of your bed at night. You know, you're very vulnerable. You don't know what's going on. People are going to be scared, you know, and they're going to be, if they're able to, lash out.
Yeah, when you feel like it's not your choice, like you feel like you're a dog or something, compared to them, like they can speak to you, but it's in your head. It's not really, it's not coming out their lips. It's kind of in your head. So you feel like you're a pet rather than a person.
Especially when they're showing no emotion, you know, they're just kind of just getting on with their job.
Yeah, I don't have any memories of anything nasty, but the ones that I saw, the last ones I saw when I was wide awake, they just sort of gentle and sweet, curious, concerned that I was awake. I could feel a whole lot of things, and normally I can hear a conversation, but because they were only halfway here, there was no conversation going between us. Yeah, so now I know not to be scared now, but I'm just waiting till I see the next ones. I'm really looking forward to that, and I'll let you know if it ever happens.
By all means.
Yeah, I had an experience where I was sitting at a bus stop during the day and looking out over the sea, and looking back over my life since the last one when I was awake and they try and put you to sleep, I've had heaps of times they've tried to put me to sleep and I've managed to fight it. But I was sitting at the bus stop and just conked out and was out for over an hour, like sitting, looking straight out at sea with my sunglasses on. And when I came back, that's exactly where I was. Same position.
Yeah, day or night, it doesn't matter the location.
Yeah, day or night, crowded or not crowded.
Exactly. It doesn't make a difference whether it's in the middle of a desert or in New York City. It still happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, good talking to you, Nick.
Chris, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Hopefully it'll help somebody or help them remember or whatever.
It will, don't worry. And enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, Nick. See you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Chris for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.